When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
Oh, that's great. Hey, listen, thank you for being part of our show every week, talking real money. Tom Koch is here. That's me. Don McDonald has the week off. He is, I believe, attending a wedding of some kind. He's also moving the silver bullet from one side of this great country to the other. So, but he'll be back next week. For those of you who would rather talk to him, call him next week, but I'm here this week, next hour. And here's the telephone number, 855-935-TALK. That's 855-935-8255. Some of you have been waiting a long time, so let's go right to the telephone right at this moment and first talk with Larry. Hi, Larry. How can I help you?
Hi. Yesterday we had a meeting at work, and they're giving us 401k benefits. And I've never done this before. I do follow your show quite a bit. I know you're not a fan of the LifePath Index. I'm just trying to figure out what to do here.
Yeah, that's a okay. Let's unpack that. First of all, I would say woohoo! You're getting the plan, so I'll go ahead and do that anyway. I think that's great. Is there any match involved?
They're working on it. A while ago, they weren't doing it, but they were talking in the next couple of months, they will have some sort of percentage figured out, but they don't know what that is yet.
Okay. I think that's absolutely terrific. And I am a fan of companies having retirement plans because it's a place at least people can start saving something. So now to go back to your other point that I'm critical of, you know, kind of target date funds, life plan, whatever it is. That's at the edges, okay? If you know nothing about any of this and you really don't have any help, I think having a target date fund is fine because it is a way to invest. It is a way to invest money that is pretty close to being matched up with where you're going to need to be in retirement. In other words, what a target date fund does is when you're 23 years old, it's going to put most of your money in stocks, right? Because stocks are riskier and have had a higher amount of return over time, and a little bit in bonds. And then as you get older and get closer to retirement, it's going to shift that portfolio to more in bonds. A bond is a less risky security, should be, that pays you back some interest, gives you back your principal over time. A stock is nothing like that. So the concept of retirement date or target date funds, I am not opposed to. And generally, they're lower expense. Here's the devil in the details. Most target date funds hold the Standard & Poor's 500 and bonds. There's nothing wrong with that portfolio. It's just that if you've added other things to it, you've made more money and you've actually reduced volatility over time. For example, the Standard & Poor's 500 is 500 huge companies in the United States, right? It primarily made up of, even of that, of the 10 or 12 of the largest make up a lot of the index, right? Your Amazons, your Microsofts, GE, I think, is in there, et cetera, et cetera. So you really don't own a lot of other parts of the economy. You don't own small companies. You don't own what we would call value companies, things that are sort of beaten down. You have no international exposure. You're not in emerging markets. You're not in real estate investment trusts, which have had a terrific year as well, up 20%. So you're missing out on some other things. But if you just looked at the portfolio of available mutual funds, he said, I have no idea how to pick from these 10 funds. I'm not opposed to the target date fund. All that said, we actually have a website, 401411.com, where we have reviewed, I think it's about 80 plans now. And you can actually send in your plan, Larry. We'll look at it and tell you, here are the funds we think you should use. If you're being aggressive or if you're being conservative, we build that out and we'll actually show you. 401411.com. So I want to be careful that people understand I'm not opposed to target date funds. By the way, our friend Paul Merriman, who will be on in 2 weeks, He is now advocating that, Larry, that you would use the target date fund, but then you would use some of the money to put in a small cap fund that gives you some exposure to this other part of the market that has been more productive than big companies. A lot of words there. Does that help?
It does. And they do give us the ability to allocate money into the other small.
Give me a name of one of the name of one of the other funds that would be available to you, just out of curiosity.
Mid cap blend, growth, and value stocks are all available. Same thing with the small caps.
But who are the people operating the mutual funds that you could bet that money into?
Everything looks like it's going through Transamerica.
Okay. Not my favorite fund family, and that's going to be actively managed probably. And again, so there may be another reason. So a target date fund generally is cheaper than those other funds you mentioned. The Transamerica would operate, which is an insurance company, would not be, again, my favorite for construction of a mutual fund portfolio. So there may be another reason. But again, if you wanted our help, our look at it, you could go very simply to 401411.com, send in the plan, and we'll try to get you some advice there. But if you knew nothing and you want to just put the money in there every 2 weeks, I have no problem at all using a target date fund in that situation. Thank you for your call, Larry. 855-935-TALK is our telephone number. 855-935-8255. Give us a ring and we'll see if we can give you some answers.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Do you know what your investment risk tolerance is? Take our free no-obligation risk quiz at TalkingRealMoney.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
You've got questions about money? We try to give you some answers, give you some help about all this. It can be confusing, I understand. And that's why we're here each and every Saturday, Talking Real Money. And all you have to do is call us, 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. Let's go back to the phones. Craig has been patiently waiting. Craig, let's answer your question. How can I help you?
Hi, Tom. You know, I've been listening to you guys for a while, and I know I've not done everything I should, but I have a fair amount of cash. And I was going to invest, and I haven't. But now the market is at the highest point it's ever been. Should I still get in now, or should I hold off a little bit?
Okay, so what is the money that you're going to invest? What is the purpose of that money? What will it eventually be used for?
It'll be used for my retirement. I am retired now.
Okay, and how soon until you're going to start using it?
Well, I'd think at least probably 5 years.
Oh, you're right there. I mean, because generally we tell people don't put it in stocks if you're going to need it inside of 5 years. Because there have been periods of time, believe it or not, where 5 years you're still underwater in stocks. It happens. I mean, and we can certainly, you're old enough to remember 2008, probably old enough to remember, you know, 2001, probably old enough to remember 1987, maybe even old enough to remember 1973, 74, which was a tough time. So
I remember all that.
I know. And those were some ragged times for stock investors. It was not a good deal. So of the money, the cash that you have, if you did not invest it, would it be enough to supply additional income in your retirement? In other words, does it need to grow, or do you have the assets you need to pay yourself in retirement already, and or with a combination of this money and other money?
I would need this money eventually in my retirement, but not. I don't need any for 5 years. I have some of the money I'm going to leave in cash that'll take care of my needs for at least 5 years.
Okay, so this is, I mean, here's the thing. You might do something very moderate. How much money are we talking about, Craig?
About $1.5 million.
Okay. So if this was my money, I would probably take maybe a quarter of it, 25%, and put it in a globally diversified stock portfolio. Then I would take the other three quarters of it and put it in bonds. I'm assuming this is after-tax sort of brokerage type of money? It's not in an IRA or something like that?
No, it's mostly in an IRA.
It is in an IRA. Okay. So you don't have to worry about taxation there per se. So the IRA part maybe could be in the bonds, and the after-tax money could be in stocks because bonds are not very tax-efficient. But something very moderate where, as I say, maybe 25% of the money is exposed to stocks, 75% is in bonds. The worst case, if we go back to 2008, you could lose 15, 16% of the money, which wouldn't change your life. Does that make sense?
Sure. But the money that's going to go into stocks, you do that now. You wouldn't wait because
here the answer is yes. So for the I started the show with this a little bit about markets are at all time highs. What do I do? The reality is your asset allocation should be dependent on the factors I just asked you. How soon do you need the money? What rate of return do you need on the money? And then the part we didn't really get to is how much risk. What is your emotional makeup around money? Because that does play a large role. And so, and I didn't get into that. And by the way, you can always go to vestry.com or talkingrealmoney.com and take the risk quiz, which is free, which will help you understand your sort of emotional makeup about all of this. But back to your question, markets are at all-time highs. The only thing I think people should do with markets at all-time highs would be to perhaps rebalance their portfolio. That, like, for example, if you put your portfolio in a 25% stock, 75% bond portfolio, and over time that's gone up now to where it's 30% in stocks and 70% in bonds, you'd be selling some of those stock positions and buying bonds to get back to your original percentages. But due to the fact that this money is cash, I think you should invest it properly for the amount of risk you want to take, the amount of return you need, and how soon till you need the money. That's why I'm very comfortable saying something very low on the risk side, 25% in stocks, 75% in bonds. Remembering a couple of things, because when people get caught up in this market at all-time highs, here's the thing you have to think about. Day to day, the market is up about 51% of the time and down about 49%. But when you start getting into months, it's dramatically different. It's like 70% of the months are up, 30% are down. So the market does have this trend of going up. What do I expect for the next 5 years? I have no idea. But do I expect in 10 years when you and I chat again on this program, which I hope I'll still be here doing it, that the market will have gone up in that period of time because that's what's happened over time. So no, I don't look at the fact that the market is at all-time highs and make investing decision. Those decisions are your personal ones based on the factors I mentioned previously.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your call. It's an absolutely great question, and it's fascinating because most people, by the way, unlike Craig, want to invest now. They feel your brain feels comfortable. The market's gone up, but you should be feeling very risky because the market's gone up, right? Our brain has, Jason Zweig wrote that absolutely fantastic book, Your Money and Your Brain, that really breaks down how your brain works against you when it comes to these money decisions. We all feel more comfortable. Things look great. But we should be instead saying, hey, is my asset allocation, is my relationship between the risky things and the less risky things in the right spot? That's where it should always be, by the way. It shouldn't matter where what the market's done for the last 10 years or what's going on politically or the economy. All of those things come and go. Your asset allocation, your risk diversification should be about your situation, not about what the market has done or may do. We don't know. They don't know. Shaquille O'Neal does not know. Jim Cramer has no idea. These people have horrible track records of telling you what's going to do. And by the way, I didn't finish with Shaquille O'Neal. The reality there is you should not be picking individual stocks. No one has a great track record of doing those, of picking stocks that do better than the market. Yeah, there's the Oracle of Omaha who did it for a while and has had a tougher time the last 10 years just sort of beating an index of stocks similar to what he owns in Berkshire Hathaway. So no, not picking individual stocks, not timing the market, because really, if you're selling now and you're saying, I got to get out because the market's at an all-time high, you're timing a market. And when are you going to get back in? Are you going to wait for it to go down 20% and then get in? I bet you don't, because then it's really hard emotionally. Yeah? 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255, as we continue on Talking Real Money.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Just about everything you need to know about money can be found at our website, talkingrealmoney.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
Welcome back to Talking Real Money. Answering your questions, 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. Call us now for a live response. Call us anytime during the rest of the week, and we will answer your question on the podcast, Talking Real Money. Let's go back to the phones. Tina joins us now. Hi, Tina.
Hey there. Appreciate you taking my call.
My pleasure.
So just looking for some advice on the best path forward for my investments. I'm 38 years old, and I've been pretty hands-off with my investments previously outside of really just setting automatic withdrawals, kind of, you know, reviewing it yearly and then increasing contributions as I earn more. So I just want to be more actively involved, obviously, and then make maximum growth. But I've got the following assets currently. So I've got about $250K in a 401K. I'm contributing the max amount, along with a employer match of about 6%, and that's set as an asset allocation 2040.
Oh, 2040. Okay, 2040 target date fund. So in other words, that's going to be 20 years. That's probably 60% in stocks, 40% in bonds. That's my guess, but I'd have to look it up. Okay, go ahead.
And then I'm 100% invested in a pension, totaling about $90K. I've got roughly $10K in a health savings account that I'm contributing the max amount, and that also includes employer contributions.
Yes.
That particular fund, I'm not investing. I'd like to, and I'm currently not using it for medical expenses. And then lastly, I have about $90K cash in a standard savings account, which I do plan to move into a high-yield online savings account in the very near future. So I think at this point, my thoughts are to just continue maxing the 401k and HSA. I'd like to invest the HSA, obviously, and then open an IRA. I was thinking traditional, since I'm in the 24% tax bracket currently.
Are you single or are you married?
Single, but I've got a partner, so yeah, that's on the horizon.
What is your income? You're filing singly? You're filing individually, not as a married couple?
Yes.
And what was what is going to be your income in 2019?
$90K, but then I also get about a 10 to 15 K bonus. 10,000 to 15,000 bonus.
Okay, because I'm trying to remember the Roth IRA contribution, the limits. Hang on, I'm going to look it up here because I always forget the number. It adjusts. But in other words, the maximum you can the maximum you can make and still be allowed to contribute to a Roth, 122,000 dollars in 2019. So that would be my first choice to do if you're going to want to save something additionally, would be to do a Roth IRA for yourself.
Okay, so Roth IRA.
Correct.
And then, even though I'm in the 24% tax bracket, that's not going to be
it's a matter of your overall income. As I said, if it's 122,000 or less, you can contribute to a Roth. It scales out a little bit after that amount and then eventually goes away. So I would do that. The HSA, if you're not going to spend it, it will depend on what options they make available in the HSA to invest in.
The ones that I'm – so I believe it's a mutual fund through Fidelity, zero minimum, no transaction fees, or then they have like a more independent –
I know, but which funds?
I don't know. Outside of just mutual funds. I have to check into that.
And you might want to do something that's balanced there between stocks and bonds in light of the fact that, again, if the market went the wrong way and then you did need the money, you really wouldn't want to see it go down by 50%, which in an all-stock portfolio could happen, right?
Definitely. Okay.
Yeah. So I would do that. And then the other part on the savings. Here's another one, and little things. I don't know what you're going to get paid on the savings account. I happen to really like the Vanguard Short-Term Investment Grade Bond Fund. It is, let's see, you know, can you hang on a second? We'll come back and finish this.
Absolutely.
Okay, we'll continue. Yeah, I'll talk a little bit about the investment grade bond fund, which is yielding 2.82 right now. It's a little bit more risk, but we'll take that up with Tina. Your questions and calls. We still have a great half an hour left here. 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
It may not be the sexiest website in the world, but it's your one-stop shop for real money information, talkingrealmoney.com.
Reality radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
Thank you for being part of the program. We're here every Saturday to try to help you make sense of your money. And we do that by taking your calls, 855-935-TALK. 855-935-8255. I'm Tom Cock. Don McDonald's got the week off. So this is a great week to call because you don't get the ire of Don. Yeah, I'm the nicer guy on the show. I can say that because he's not here, right? So anyway, it's a good time to do it. The lines are actually open and we have till the top of the hour. So 855-935-8255. Anything money related. We're talking with Tina right now about sort of maxing out anything she can do at the relative young, I'm not even going to say relative, I'll just say young age of 38. Sounds like you're doing a great job. So we talked about the 401k. How is that currently allocated? Is that in a target date fund? Have you built the asset allocation? Because that's the biggest part of your holdings.
So it's the asset allocation 2040. I want to say
that's right.
56 domestic stocks, 31 foreign stocks, and 7% domestic bonds, I believe, and the rest balance between others and cash.
Okay, so it's more aggressive than I had said earlier. I thought earlier I said 60-40. It sounds more like almost 80% in stocks. So that's good mm-hmm. because you're going to work a long time. You don't want to have much in bonds because they're not paying a whole lot, right? I mean, so when you're young, you should be mostly in stocks. I'm good with that. The pension, obviously, you cannot invest. That's their money to invest for you, correct?
Yep.
Okay. And then you had a question about the HSA. My suggestion there, again, would be some balance between stocks and bonds, because if you need the money for some health emergency that came up, you don't want it all in stocks. Then you kind of work your way down to this $90,000 you have in savings, which is absolutely terrific. The aspect here is, can you make at least a little something on sort of the cash part of your portfolio? This has been an argument that we, Don and I, have had for years. I prefer and use the Vanguard Short-Term Investment Grade Bond Fund, VFSTX. This is a mutual fund that holds a lot, thousands of short-term bonds. You pay 20 basis points for the pleasure of holding that, and the yield right now is 2.4%. So you're making a little bit more than you would, a lot more generally in a checking account, a little bit more than a savings account. You can get the money any day that you need it. You could hook it up right to your bank account. Now, the bad news is there's some volatility. It lost a little bit of money in 2008. But this is something that I think is just a little more efficient for your cash holding. By the way, you could keep some in your higher yield savings and some in this as a way to give you some diversification in your cash as well.
Got it. That makes sense. I appreciate it.
So that would be, but it sounds like, Tina, you're doing a pretty doggone good job working your way to retirement, which is still hopefully a long way down the road.
It seems that way. I probably have to start working until I'm 90 or something.
No, not a saver like you. And I didn't mean it like that. I meant it like engagement. I mean, this is something that comes up when we, at a couple we talked to today, and the guy's a very successful attorney, wants to quit in 5 years. And he's still relatively young. And I said, well, what are you going to do? He said, you know, I'll probably try the vacation thing for a while and I'll get bored and I'll go back to working. Because I find people in retirement that want to find the sense of purpose. I'm never telling people work longer than you want to. What I was saying for you is you are young. It appears it would be more of a personal decision than it would be financially, because you're being such a great saver for retirement. So congratulations for that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for being part of the program. 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. Speaking of retirement, I love these surveys. Where, right? I mean, because a lot of people say you can never do it in Seattle because it's too expensive. And then we have a lot of people that say, I want to go to the Southwest, and they wake up in July and find out it's 114 degrees outside, and they don't want to do that. So the surveys come out telling you the best and worst states for retirement. Guess what? The survey that just came out, number one state for retirement. I don't think you're going to guess this. You hang on. We'll tell you when we come back from the break, because you will never guess the number one state. And by the way, Washington, good old Washington State, I think it's like 45th. Go figure, looking at things like cost of living, weather, all that kind of stuff. We'll come back. We'll tell you more about that. 855-935-TALK. Stay with us.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Download the advisor interview form and find out if your advisor is a fiduciary at talkingrealmoney.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
Are you a corn husker? Do you know how to harvest corn? Do you know how to cook it? Do you know how to eat? I can eat it. I can probably cook it. Welcome to Talking Real Money. We're talking about retirement, maybe your retirement. How about moving to the place that's the best place to retire, the best state to retire in? This is a no-brainer, right? Maybe you thought it was like the Southwest because it's sunny all the time. Maybe you thought it was a major metropolitan area because you could live downtown and take in the arts and everything else. No, no way, man. Number one, this includes affordability, crime, culture, weather, and wellness. The number one is Nebraska? Come on. Number two, Iowa. Number three, Missouri. You're seeing a pattern here. Places that I haven't even visited. Number four, South Dakota. Number five, Florida. I guess I can kind of see that. You got to work your way well down the list to number 46 to get to Washington. 46? Really? Wow. And they give us a 36 for weather. I think they're way off the mark there. But take a look at the weather map today and see if you'd rather be anywhere other than Seattle. I'm betting not in these great United States of America, but we'll see. Still got time for your questions and calls. 855-935-TALK. You can tell me why I'm wrong about that. 855-935-TALK. Let's go back to the phones. Lisa joins us here on the program. Hi, Lisa.
Hi there.
How can I help you?
Well, I'm curious what your thoughts are, or, you know, what I should be considering about paying off the mortgage with some of the 401k money.
So taking it out of the first of all, how old are you?
I'm 58.
Okay.
My husband's 61. He just retired. I'm still working.
Okay.
It was kind of a thought we wondered about.
And tell me about the value of your home, first of all.
We think ballpark. It's probably about
$450,000. Okay. And what do you owe on it?
$150,000.
At what interest rate?
Ooh, I should know that. I don't know. I think it's low three something.
Okay. That's going to be an important part of the equation, but low three something tells us something. So you're thinking of taking out how much of your husband's 401k or your 401k?
Probably both equal. Okay. I would be 59 and a half, you know, next year. I thought equally, whatever the considerations are.
Okay.
We're not really sure how to look at this.
Yeah. What is your, with your husband in retirement, do you have any idea what your tax rate is? Federal tax rate? That's another number. Just stepping back. I was trying to get a general feel. But in a general sense, I don't favor this for a variety of reasons. First of all, the fact that you're paying a little over 3% on the mortgage is a very low interest rate compared to what you should be trying to make in a 401k, even moderately invested, should be trying to make you 6 or 7% a year. So comparing those two is one thing. Number two, remember that when the money comes out of the 401k, we're going to pay tax on it. At least you wisely have already pointed out you wouldn't take any till 59 and a half, because prior to that, you'd be paying a 10% penalty on top of whatever income tax rates. We're going to be paying tax on it, right? That's another thing to think about. Number three, and here's the part that I think people forget. Once it goes in out of the 401k into the house, this is now illiquid. You can't get at that money should your husband have a health issue, should you have other some other need for it, should you need to pay the light bill for retirement. So I generally do not favor this as a strategy. It turns out most of the time in financial planning, it feels great. It just feels good. I'm paying off debt. I owe nothing on my house, or I owe less. It's a feeling thing, not a financial thing. The financial equation generally is do not do it.
Okay.
But you really want to know, you'd want to know what your tax rate was. You would want to know what the interest rate on the house. And by the way, is this the house you plan to stay in the rest of your lives?
Probably not.
Okay, that's another reason that I wouldn't do it as well. If you were going to say, I'm going to pay it off, I'm going to live here for the next, hopefully, 30 years or more, because I know people live into their 90s. My personal goal is 90, by the way. Then you could say yes, but otherwise, I would definitely not be favoring it then, because then you're just turning something that is, again, liquid into an illiquid, a place you can't get the money. And you're hoping, by the way, that at some point when you go to sell it, you can get the 450. We never know what's going to happen in the real estate market that may make it really difficult to sell that house. So, no, I don't think that would be a good financial decision.
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling the program, 855-935-TALK. I do want to mention that all things retirement is exactly what we do in the classes that we do generally. This is the topic that people want to know about: how to save for retirement, how to invest in retirement, how to get money out of my investments to pay me in retirement, when to take Social Security, how to avoid the big mistakes you see as practitioners. And we are that. We manage about $450 million for about 750 families nationwide. So we see all of these situations, and we try to talk to you about the ones we see that are most prevalent. How to do things right that put the odds in your favor, to keep your taxes as low as possible, to build a great future without having to worry about it all the time, without having to speculate or think about, hey, if I did this, I might have enough money, to avoid those kind of things. And that's what I'm going to be doing on July 24th. This is a special lunch ed class. We still have a few seats left for it, but it will, I probably could say, sell out by the end of this weekend. We do them infrequently. We can only take, I think it's 14 people or something, because it's a small room. You get a lunch with it. It's an hour-long class. I walk through proper portfolio construction. I walk through how to take money out of your investments. I give you some important facts about Social Security that many of you overlook, and people make horrible decisions about Social Security. We do all of this. There's a very small charge that kind of covers the cost of the lunch. There's no obligation of any other kind. We're not going to sell you anything while you're there. You can simply come, get the education, and walk out the door. So that is the 24th of July. It's a weekday, and you can register for it at talkingrealmoney.com, talkingrealmoney.com. And we, again, we try to help you understand how to get this right. We've been doing this for a long time, and one of the fellas that we've been doing it with will be on this program 2 weeks from today, a guy named Paul Merriman, who's been a great mentor, a great friend, and I hope a great colleague, and you'll love hearing from him. So join us on the on that program 2 weeks from today as well. We'll continue the program just a couple minutes here on Talking Real Money.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Tom and I believe in helping everybody become a better investor. That's why we offer lots of free knowledge at TalkingRealMoney.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
Welcome back to Talking Real Money. We're here every week to answer your questions about all thing investing, retirement, money. We really want to make sure you get this right, because it for most people, investing really is investing for retirement. You heard a lot of calls today on everything from investing in cannabis stocks to whether we should use a target date fund, or I have cash now, should I be investing with market at new highs? We try to answer those questions relatively quickly here every week on the program, but when we do the classes, like the one I've got coming up on July 24th, we carefully walk through how to create what we call asset allocation for retirement. That is how, using mutual funds to pick the right amount of stocks and bonds in your portfolio, how to build this for wherever you are in your life and for however much money you have or may need. Then we try to show you how to create income from your savings in retirement and how to avoid critical retirement mistakes we see people make on a regular basis. Again, it's Thursday, the 24th of July. It's a very low cost to attend because it includes a lunch. So we're not going to give you a free lunch. We're not selling an annuity. There's nothing like that. So join us that day at noon at our office in Bellevue for a special lunch ed presentation. Here's where you can do it. TalkingRealMoney.com. Just go to TalkingRealMoney.com.
We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for educational and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future. So past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Vestory, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures. Are we done now?